just love being healthy, well, you know, like just love the fact that I've got no illness. I'm just lucky to do the things that a lot of people aren't. Just you appreciate having peace and security and good food and just simple things, to be honest, and health is wealth, you know, that sort of stuff. Mm. That's really, you know, just people. I love good energy. A really true believer in the energy you give is the energy you get. You know, it's just being there for people, texting people back, respecting people, you know. Like just things like I've got a motto, big believer in karma, treating people well, respect. Respect your elders is the biggest thing I can always say. Even if sometimes I get these old blokes, I've got no idea what they're telling me, but I won't disrespect them.
Yeah.
You know, like that. You know, so it's just, life and love and family and, you know, you just can't be. Life's so short. Mate, it goes. As soon as you have kids, you know, you get into a time warp where it's just the same thing and, mate, 25 years will go, you know, until your kids move out of home, then your life starts again in a different way, you know. So, you know, I can always share some gold and, you know, things from experiences and stuff. So,
let's do it. You ready?
Yep.
Let's kick start it.
Let's go. The big fella.
Hey?
Smokey. Rock and roll, baby.
All right, so we are episode 3 for the day in Melbourne. We've got one of the all-time greats of Victorian, if not Australian, real estate, Matthew Pilios, with us. So thank you so much for joining us.
Boys, welcome to Melbourne. Hey, thanks for bringing the weather today. Bit of sun out there.
Yes, we'll leave and it'll be raining, don't worry. So look, you've recently been awarded Victoria by REB, Victoria's number one agent, Australia's number 6 ranked agent. You've only been doing it for 9 years.
Yep.
How?
Thanks, guys, for having us. Thanks for coming down to Kane, Burton, Brighton, or Brayton, they love to say, Dan and Kev. I don't know. I could only say that probably a few factors is, I think with real estate, you've got to know property, right? You've got to learn property.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, you've got to love people and you've got to love selling. And, you know, I love people. I love getting along with everyone. I wake up happy and positive. So I think that's a big part of real estate, rapport, energy, service, customer service. You know, I grew up, I think my first couple of jobs were working, you know, I think I worked at Coles when I was 14 and I worked as a, you know, did waitering and bartending. So it was always giving customer service. So it's the same thing in real estate, you know, people just want great service, great energy, good people. But I think I was lucky. I started probably, you know, a lot of people when they start real estate, they do start in their early 20s and mid-20s and it is much tougher. It's got easier though. I think for people starting younger now, it's much easier with technology, with digital, with prospecting. But it definitely was harder back in the day. But I think for me, you know, starting at real estate at 36 years old, I was able to
have a late start.
It was a late start in sales. And also my dad was a real estate agent growing up as a kid. So I was able to know, and he had, you know, a lot of his mates were real estate agents. So I was able to know, you know, when I was in my mid-20s at a Vodafone dealership, I was sort of looking after a lot of, you just sort of learn a few tricks, saw the way they rolled, you know, saw that they had good people skills, good relationship building. So I thought I sort of had a foot in the door. And also, guys, before I started real estate in 2015, I actually worked at realestate.com, REA Group, in Melbourne, which is obviously quite big in, I think Domain's probably bigger in Sydney.
No.
That realestate.com now has got number one.
Dominates.
Yeah, okay,
maybe
perfect.
Not the eastern suburbs. Yeah, maybe that's Domain, but the rest is Sydney.
Well, I know they've been REA sponsoring Sydney Swans for 5 years, which is a great, great smart marketing. But I was at REA Group, realestate.com, as an account manager. So I was servicing agents, and that was, you know, a good little leap into it as well. So, look, thank you for having me, and, you know, it's been a dream start, but a lot of hard work and no doubt a lot of blood, sweat and tears.
Man, let's bring it right the way back then. There's as I mentioned off camera, a lot of people know who you are. Got a large social media following. You sell some of the best real estate in the country. You're very well known, but not many people know your actual life story. Like, what were you doing before REA? Where did you come from? What school did you go to? Give us your life story.
Nah, thanks. Look, I grew up in, I was all over the place when I was young. My parents had a milk bar in Kew, which is quite a good suburb. I was quite young then. And I went to Kew Primary, I think, in grade prep and grade one, and moved all across the other side of Melbourne to a suburb called Nidri, which is near Essendon, which is sort of a real good, you know, middle class plus area. Went to three different primary schools, which was quite hard growing up as a kid, and then went to three different high schools. So
you touched on hard. What made it hard changing around?
Yeah, it was just, I think, just not being settled, you know, going, trying to make new friends, different schools, different areas, which, so that was always tougher times. Look, the toughest part was high school, you know, moving from grade six into year seven to a really rough government school. The school I went to, it was called Nidri High, and it was really rough. You know, a lot of gangs, very multicultural school. You know, I was quite short and weaselly is probably the word when I was young. So I did encounter a lot of bullying in year seven and eight. You know, that's just life. So then I changed schools year 9 and 10, and then
because of that reason.
Sorry to hear, mate.
No, that's just life. And then 11 and 12 went to another school. So I sort of, look, by the time I was 18, 19, I had a lot of resilience. You know, did a lot of sport. You know, footy was very big for me, and boxing. I started boxing at 16 with a good friend of mine who's a famous artist, Vincent Fantuzzo. He's married to an actress, Asha Keddy. So I started doing boxing with him 16, 17. So I went from not being able to handle myself at all at 14, 15 to becoming a reasonable, you know, footy and street fighter when I was 19, 20. Not that I wanted to get in any, but that was just the area I was in. But, you know, not that I ever wanted to fight or anything like that. But, you know, that was life. End up doing a uni degree at a Victorian university. Did a marketing degree, which was quite hard because I wasn't academically smart. It was just more work ethic and doing that. And I just wanted to prove this to myself that I could do it. And, you know, through my 20s, I just was living and breathing footy. I actually hosted a TV show at 23, so similar to you guys, on Channel 31 called the Essendon Footy Show.
Here we go.
It was like a try-hard Channel 9 footy show, but it was for the local Essendon Footy League, which was quite a strong league. So
yeah, it had quite a lot of viewers then.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
It was a strong viewership.
It was. Yeah. So did that for 5-6 years, was working with Vodafone. It was a bit all over the place, you know, probably wasn't focusing on my career, to be honest. You know, going out, enjoyed my weekends, I could probably say. You know, I really enjoyed being it. You know, the advice I'd give to people in their 20s is, you know, enjoy yourself in your young 20s, but start focusing on your career in your early to mid-20s. I probably enjoyed myself to my late 20s, which probably, you know, if I could give a young Matt Pilios advice, would be, you know, focus a bit more in your mid-20s and beyond.
What, do you mind if I pause you there? Because it relates to me at my age. What makes you say that as opposed to what you did?
Because you think you've got so much time. You know, like I remember just blowing money, going out, going on 4-week holidays and just going, you know what, I can make more money and I can make more money. But then you get to 30 and you're chasing your tail. Mm. You know, then you've got all these other guys who have already invested in a property and they're 30. Mm. And, you know, you're 29, 30, you're still broke, you're living month by month. You're not getting accepted in society or forgiven as you used to be in your young 20s because people go, you know what, he's 23, he can go out, be seen at 5 in the morning. You're 28, you're doing the same thing. But then you've got people who are 28 who are actually focused and working hard. So you think that you've got so much time, but you don't. You know, like I was 29, I was married, 30, I was a father, and I probably wasn't in the financial position I should have been and I wish I was. So I felt like I spent my whole 30s chasing my tail, and that was part of the reason I got into real estate.
When you had your first child,
yep,
and you said you weren't in the best financial position,
yep,
were you living paycheck to paycheck at that point?
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
When you had your first kid?
I'd actually made some bad business decisions in my late 20s. I thought, you know, I had a Vodafone dealership. I was quite unlucky because the Vodafone network had a meltdown, like a technology meltdown while I had it. So I lost a lot of my clients due to no fault. I had a bad product. So that really hurt my business. And then I bought into a bar and nightclub with some ex-AFL players. Thought it'd be cool. And it was much harder than I anticipated. You know, we're spending more. We had 5 partners. Instead of getting home at midnight, I was getting home at 3 a.m. I wasn't, you know, being as productive on a Sunday, Monday as I would have liked to have been. So I ended up, you know, putting my wife through some tough times. We lost probably our house, our property, when I was 30 years old. I had to sell it. It was one of the hardest things, but it was a real turning moment. in my life, because I looked at her and I said, if you stick with me, we had a son, it was 6 months old, and I said, if you stick with me, I will get everything back. And she did. You know, and I'll never forget, her mum was telling her to leave me. I was 30 years old, but she knew that, you know, it was just an inexperienced mistake and, you know, bad business experience. And, yeah, look, from there I just said I'm going to get my life back, and it just started, you know, getting up early, working hard. And what happens is if you start good habits, opportunities create opportunities. And I'll never forget, I was doing the right thing. I was working hard. I was more focused. I was 31. I was emceeing a wedding, right? So I said to my wife, I'll emcee your wedding, Some bloke comes up to me, half-tanked, corporate guy, and goes, mate, I'm a big manager at realestate.com. You are so impressive. I want you to come for a job. We've got a job. And I thought, this bloke's had too much to drink. I didn't drink. I drive home. I go to my wife. I bet she forgets about me. I get a text from him at 10 a.m. This is Matt from realestate.com. His name was Matt as well. Don't forget to speak to me about your interview. I could not believe it. Get to realestate.com. I was out of my depth. They put me on a 3-month trial. 3 months get there. They go, look, we can't guarantee a job. One more 3-month trial. Snuck in. And I ended up being there for 3 years, and it was the greatest thing that ever happened in my personal career, because it changed me. The people I've been, you know, going from hanging out with bloody boxers and footy players and rough guys to just working in this environment where they were so smart, they were so well-natured, calm, beautiful people, educated, smart. I was the dumbest person in the company, but they loved my grunt and salesmanship, and ended up being their best salesman a couple of years in. And I got to 33, guys, and I said to my wife, you know, I was making $120,000 a year, $130,000 a year package, good job, but I said, I cannot get us a house and get my, you know, the lifestyle I want for our kids. Had two kids under three, earning this sort of money. I said, I think I have to try real estate because it's uncapped. And it was a very hard decision because, you know, the first couple of years I was making 60, 80 grand. And I was at weddings on a Saturday night for $500. I was commentating on Fox Sports as $1,000. I was doing two or three jobs during that first 2 years of my career to get ahead. But it's been the greatest decision, and I've been quite lucky. I've had great support, and, you know, 9 years later, I've got myself in a good position, you know, financially, but also emotionally and, yeah, physically, everything's good.
Wow. Mate, you mentioned at the start that your old man was also a real estate agent.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you growing up seeing that?
Yeah, and I love my dad. He's a great man, but I actually said I never want to do real estate because I saw my dad do really well when I was young, and then I saw him go through some tough times. I think, you know, we lost we lost the house as a kid. You know, we had to move multiple times. He did it hard. You know, he lost his real estate business. So I said to my wife, going through that trauma, I remember, you know, not being able to go to school camp in year 7 because we couldn't afford it. Things like that. You know, it was quite tight for him financially through no fault of his, but, you know, it was just a hard industry. So I said I was never going to get into real estate. So it was, you know, I was adamant I'll never do real estate. I saw what the dad went through. I hardly saw him a lot of times because he had to work late. Yeah, back then I didn't have mobile, so I had to stay in the office with a landline or come home and work, you know. So,
yeah.
I was never going to do real estate.
Yeah.
But then I just needed the money financially. But if I hadn't gone to realestate.com and account managed so many real estate agents, I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity and knack to say maybe I should be an agent, because I started meeting some good guys and they had, you know, done pretty well. They're driving nice cars.
You realise what's going on. I thought,
you know what, it's a good opportunity. Yeah, yeah. You know, they're living in nice houses with $3,000, $4,000.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, and I kept on saying, mate, you could be an agent. You know, Scott Bremner, my old Vic manager, he said, you know, you should be a real estate agent. You're so well connected with your Fox Sports and your footy background and stuff. Mm. So, yeah, it was just the way it happens. That's crazy. But I think if you put yourself out there, you know, if I didn't MC that wedding, I never would have met that guy. If I didn't meet that guy, I never would have got a job at realestate.com. If I didn't get a job at realestate.com, I never would be in real estate. I'm telling you, it's crazy the way the world works, boys.
You mentioned just before that, you know, you were hanging around a different crowd, you know, a bit of a rougher crowd, the footy guys, all that sort of stuff. Do you still hang around that friend group, or is it just a completely different circle?
It's completely different. It's, you know, and it's you're definitely a product of who you hang around with. And, you know, I'll still speak to a lot of those guys, say hello to them, but, you know, it's just a different you know, I made the move when I lost my house, and I said we made a move across from my old area, which was Essendon area, and we came across the Bayside, Melbourne, in I think 2011. And I purely said to my wife, I want a fresh start. You know, the guys would go out on a Friday night and end up going out for, you know, say, let's go for a drink at 7 o'clock at night, and they're out till 3 a.m. I didn't want to be a part of that. You know, I wanted to be, I had two young kids, I had a good wife. I wanted to be able to be home with her with no pressure, no peer pressure. You know, get up early, take the kids, get fit, be around some good people. I had some good family and friends around Bayside. So, nah, look, I'd still, you know, you outgrow some people sometimes and you outgrow your friends. And as I still have a lot of respect for a lot of them. But, you know, just different journeys and different ambitions. You know, yeah. I was very ambitious.
What age was the turning point for you to go, okay, I'm going pro? I'm turning
about
it
30.
On. About 30.
30, yeah, yeah. 31.
And it is it because of the loss of the home?
Yeah, because of the loss of the home and what I felt. You know, I looked at myself in the mirror and just said, mate, you are better than this.
What were you doing wrong?
Look, it was just a combination of not working hard. You know, I remember going to bed at 11:30, 12 on a weeknight. Like, I go to bed now at 9, 9:30.
Yeah.
And I was getting up at 8. You know, just the habits of, you know, then I get up now at 5:30. I wish I could get up at 5 again, 5:30, train at 6, good habits, eat well. You know, just back then, you know, you'd have really social type weekends every second week and, you know, just, you know, drink a lot more and just not eat as healthy and not be around probably like-minded people that I am now, ambitious people, family people, successful people, people that are motivated to create, you know, wealth creation. Mm. You know, it's just a combination of that.
So guys at your level, at the very top, who are you learning off?
Here now, Ross Savas, who's the owner of Kane Burton, very, you know, late 50s, been around the traps for a long time. So just people that are older, more experienced. You know, I've got some good family friends, Pete Marino, they're accountants, but are very, just real social people, but smart, connected with very good people, high wealth people, look after a lot of, you know, celebrity type people with their accounting business, great networkers. So, you know, they help me a lot. You know, I've got a guy named Graeme Croft. He's a bit of a – so I've got some mentors. You're generally older. You know, I'm mid-40s. I like to tell people I'm 39, boys, so just so I can hang out with young guys like you. But, you know, I think the fact that my mum was born in the Greek islands, I still got the olive skin.
The
helps
skin
me.
Hair.
But, no, I'm definitely – I'm mid-40s, unfortunately, but I train and know that so I can hang out with you guys. But I think it's imperative to always learn, you know, learning off people that have been around the traps.
What's been the biggest lesson you've had recently?
A recent lesson, yeah.
Just never get too far ahead of yourself. You know, sometimes you're doing so well, you think it's going to easy and think it's going to happen, and things can change so quickly. So just never get too far ahead of yourself. You know, just and I'm starting to become a little more private, you know, like I just went to Bali for 8 days. Over the years, I would have posted heaps of social media and, you know, said, oh, I'm in Bali and, you know, how good is this?
Because
yeah, and then now it's just, you know, it's just sort of sometimes, unfortunately, when you start getting some success, guys, you start getting more enemies. Unfortunately, that's just life, and you start getting a lot more hate, which is just so disappointing, but that's just life. I've learned and knives in your back. So, you know, you just like to keep some things private.
Do you not think that shows a – and I think the same thing too, right?
Yeah.
But do you think that actually gets the viewers emotionally involved into you and more attracted to you? Sure, you might have a few more haters, but the people that are actually listening are now becoming more emotionally involved. At the same time, something we've realized is – the negative comments on some posts or negative talk is actually what drives and fuels even further engagement, which then opens the door to more people that want to do business to you.
Yeah, it's a good call. For sure, for sure.
And it's just that I don't know. Like I'm battling that with myself. So yep.
Look,
what are your thoughts on that?
It's a good question. I always was like, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But I've
stopped you from that thought?
Look, I represent – Kane Burton is such a real successful prestige company. So we have such a high wealth clientele and different world. And, you know, it's really about being prestige. It's really about being, you know, private and classy and elegant. So it's just the way a lot of my clientele have expectations, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are discreet and we do a lot of business like that. So sometimes they don't want to see their agent, who is their trusted advisor, and that's what we are, trusted advisors, to be too out there, you know, and too social, because then they might say, how is he acting towards my property?
I'm actually focusing on it.
Yeah, correct. So it's a combination of that.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's probably not saying I'm getting old, but as you get older, you sort of sometimes change your ways as well. But you know what? You know, you've got to do what makes you happy in life.
How do you think you've changed the most as an agent over the past 5 years?
It's a good question. Change. Yeah, it's a good question. I think the best way I've changed is becoming as professional as I can, becoming the best expert as I can, really switched on. I got to a stage at about 2020, 2021, guys, and I said, I need to be the best version possible. You know, from buying, you know, $500 suits now to $1,000. I mean, I don't want to spend money on suits. I'd rather, guys, I'd love to be, like, I'm looking at you two young guys in a t-shirt and jeans. That's great. I'd rather be like that. But I've got to look as best as possible. I've got to present as best as possible. I've got to act as best. My product knowledge has got to be ahead of everybody else. Service. So I've got a great team, you know, that which I invest in. You know, I pay wages for really good EAs and good sales support. So it's a combination of that, you know. Like, I just had a client who I'd sold for. He had another agent last year, couldn't sell it, engaged with me 5-6 weeks ago. I sold for just under $9 million. He rang me up yesterday. He was quite comfortable because it's gone unconditional. He said, mate, people have been ringing me saying, how is Matt Pilios? You're a big personality. What was he like? And he was just said, mate, the way I explained you, Matt, was your service was there 24/7. I could ring you up at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. I was texting you at 7 a.m. I could contact you 24/7, and I knew you were going to contact me back. On a Sundays, I was ringing you, and I said, mate, I told these guys you're the hardest working agent I've ever seen. And that to me felt amazing because I pride myself. So I've really lifted my game in terms of working hard, being on. So, for example, I don't drink from late Jan to the start of July. I rarely drink during the year. Mm. Quite boring. The reasons I don't drink much on a Saturday night is because I work 6 days a week and I really enjoy family down a Sunday. So I actually don't want to feel hungover. And I love to get up early on a Sunday, exercise, get home by about 9 and my kids are waking up and say, Duke Stella, you got footy today, got kids, you know, let's hang out, let's do something. So and that's implemented in my work. So I'm on 24/7 because I'm physically at my best, both because I train, but mentally my mental game's good.
Do you mind if I ask a selfish question?
For sure.
That I'd like to learn off you, which comes to the professionalism part. As I evolve, mature, and learn about the art of doing business, something that comes to my mind is evolving professionally to be the best professional version of myself without losing who I am as an individual and not wearing a mask somebody else tells me to wear.
100%. It's got to come from the heart. Like,
from your evolution, do you feel the same?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I used to get told by my old work, yeah, you got to act like this, you got to do that. But you can't just go from black to white. Everything is just progress, you know, step by step. You know, it's the old saying, you learn when you're 5 years old. You crawl, you walk, you jog, you run, you sprint. I mean, it's the same thing. So it's got to feel comfortable. It's got to feel authentic. You know, when you're getting paid, Dan, when you're paid professional, you have to compromise, you know. So sometimes, mate, I'm always loud and out there and, you know, let's get a photo, let's put you on video, let's do this, you know, really promote well. But, you know, then I've got to say, hang on a sec, this guy's paying me big commission. He is low key. So it's got to be natural for you. If it doesn't make you happy and you can't sleep and you hate yourself, it's not, Dan, it's not the right thing. You've got to be able to do it and say, I'm doing this because, I mean, I do real estate because it really has put a good life for myself, my wife, my kids. And even now I can do things like, you know, with friends and family, I can take my good friends and family out for a nice dinner.
Yeah.
When I couldn't afford that 10 years ago. So, I compromise that. I wake up early. You know, last night I was here in the office at 8:15 by myself. But if I wasn't getting paid well, I wouldn't do it. But, you know, it's all compromise.
Yeah.
Based on that, what advice would you give to your son? on that topic.
Yep.
Of stretching to evolve professionally to your best, and that I get that, versus still kind of evolving with who you are.
Yeah,
do you always still give them the same advice?
For sure, for sure. Always improving, but also enjoying life, you know, having a balance. Like, you know, it was good because it's a good question, Dan, because my son has just come off 2 weeks of school holidays and I just saw him, even though I went to Bali, I was speaking to him four times a day. He was, you know, he's playing golf with his mates, gyming, sleepovers till 2, 3am. Like, they had eight boys at my house on Sunday night. I got them pizzas at 10 o'clock and they were up talking till 1am. But I said, mate, you've had your good time now. Mm. Now it's back to work. Mm. Now school starts, respect your teachers. Had a good chat with him this morning. Be focused first day because your teacher's going to come. So what I say is you put the work, you get the rewards. And, you know, when I was young in my 20s, I was just enjoying life, but I wasn't putting the work in. And then you go backwards in life. Mm. You know, you get either yourself in debt, you get yourself behind. Maybe I wasn't as fit as I was when I was playing footy, you know, things like that. So, you know, the best advice I could just say, work hard, be a good person, be happy and enjoy yourself. Everything's a really good balance.
No, I appreciate it. That's good advice. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Got a viewer question here. What's your social media strategy and how to break into the luxury market? What skills do you believe help you?
So it was all about being authentic and showing who you are, but providing good, consistent content. So consistency builds trust. The amount of people I see on social media, Kev, that have, you know, you see them post three things in a week, then you don't see them for a month. Right, so consistency builds trust in life. Consistency builds trust.
Ooh.
You know, you got a partner in life. So you got a girlfriend. You're in your 20s, and she is day to day happy, loves you, etc. The trust is there.
Yeah,
you got a partner. Oh, I could say girlfriend or boyfriend. Boys, I don't know you too, but girlfriend or boyfriend, got a partner, and you know they're up and about 5 days a week. Then 2 days a week, they are just bloody low and angry and all that. There's no trust there.
Yeah.
You know, up and down. So it's the same thing if you work. So, and same thing with social media. Consistency builds trust. So I try to post three or four properties a week, good properties, which is great content. You know, three or four stories per week. And then, you know, maybe once a month, some family things that I do. You know, going to the football with my family, watching the Mighty Bombers last month, Christmas days, etc.
Yeah.
That's good advice, consistency.
Yep.
How long were you an associate for?
In terms of an
like
agent?
Yeah,
I was a sales associate for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And I got in as a director in late 2019. So it was only my fourth year in real estate.
That's very quick.
And, you know, now to be a director at Kay & Merton is a great privilege and very blessed to be with the number one prestige brand in, you know, just about in the country.
So off camera, we were talking about the fact that you were very consistent and very successful in that $5-12 million range-ish.
Yep.
Now what
you're It didn't start at, like that.
It didn't start like
Can
that,
I tell
no.
You, it was 500 to 1 mil, 1 to 2. It was all about growing. What I reckon the biggest issue with agents is they come in, you've got these 28-year-olds and they're just competing with, you know, the bigger agents for $4 to $8 million properties and they're wondering why they're listing 1 out of 50. Right, so I was 36 going, I'm going to go to 2-3 million and four. But then the last couple of years it has been maybe 5 to 12 has been a sweet spot. But I've just had a really good turn this year in terms of being able to now secure a lot of properties between, say, 10 and 25 mil.
Now, do you think that has to be built over time or is there a way to fast track that? Because I remember at ARIC quite a few years ago, there was a young guy from Ray White, Broadbeach. I can't remember who it was. And he said his first house he door knocked on was some like $20 million waterfront. As soon as he hit that, it was just straight into the luxury market. I've seen Tarun Sethi at McGrath and Strathfield do the same thing, went straight into Fight, which is the top end, and then that's all they do. Do you think that's possible, or because it's in that $20 million range, you just can't?
It's very close to impossible.
Okay.
There might be the odd stories like the two you mentioned.
Yeah.
But very rare.
Yeah, but one hot day doesn't make a summer.
Correct, 100%. Because gotcha. So the people selling these properties, it's their biggest asset, you know, one of their biggest assets. They need experience.
Yeah.
They need, you know, proven track record. It's very hard to get in. And I remember once getting a couple of $4 to $5 million sales and you start telling the people that own $5-6 million properties, then you get a listing there. And, you know, my average sales two, 3 years ago was 2 million and went to 3 million to the last year. The average sales price was 5 million. And I think this year I'm around 6 to 7.
That's
so
awesome.
I'd love to, if I could get the volume back with that, it'd be great. But yeah. it's trying to do both. But it's awesome. You know, it's a great honour. And, you know, I'm just about to load today. What are we? April the 16th, online in Brighton. You know, my biggest ever property, 25 to 27 million, 82 Esplanade. You know, an amazing home on the
spiral
beach.
Staircase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. So I posted it about 2 weeks ago, coming
is
soon.
Is that the pool?
Yeah. So that's Victorian hot. Restored and a brand new house with a big basement, you know, 1,600 square metres on the water. So, you know, that's a great honour and it's a great privilege. You know, the beautiful people that own it and to get the trust to do that is, you know, I've got a lot of gratitude to say.
Why did you win it?
He said, he asked around 3 or 4 people. He'd been following us on social media, which was quite good. And, you know, he interviewed us and just said, your energy, you know, I need someone with your energy and experience to get the job done. You know, I'm in a good age, you know, early 40s. That a lot of people like. I can still get along with, you know, guys in their late 20s, but also get along people quite well in their 50s and 60s. So connection's a big thing. I had a great connection with the owners.
Yeah. What would you say motivates you the most now? Is it the higher price points, a different caliber or wealth status of people or volume? What would you say?
Yeah, it's momentum. You know, you don't want to go backwards in life. So it's having some self-pride. It's not ego. It's having self-pride to keep doing better, to enjoy success and continue success. You know, it's like I think you guys were saying you played a bit of footy and rugby. You know, you don't want to just have one good year. You want to have a great career.
Mm.
So it's that. So it's just having pride in yourself to actually keep doing well. And it's also just to, you know, again, I think of the hardship of growing up, you know, doing it financially tough. I think of the hardship, you know, I went through when I was 29, 30, about 31 financially, into my early 30s, and I think about my, you know, my family and my friends and think, okay, you know, I want to have a good life for them. So just continue to work hard. You continue to be driven as well. So, yeah, it's just, you know, you always have your why. You know, God, you'll put, you know, your family, my life, I want to travel. You got to always write down your why, you know, maybe once a year.
What's why? Your most deep-rooted why?
Mine is to give – enjoy experiences with my family. So, like, just to go on 2 holidays a year now is unbelievable. I just can't believe I'm able to do that because I grew up fairly poor. You know, I wasn't saying there's a lot of people worse off, but, you know, we went through 5, 6 years where maybe we were able to go down to Rye for a week at best, you know, and maybe just a local thing. So, to be able to go on 2 holidays per year and hang out with my kids and just have good experiences because, you know, they're teenagers now. They've been kids, now they're young adults. In 5 years' time, unfortunately, and it happens, you know, they're not going to want to see me much more than a Sunday night dinner and popping in and out the house. You know, that's the reality of life. I remember getting 18, 19, you're never home. You know, you're worried about girls, your mates, sport. So it's about having those memories because I don't want to have any regrets when I get older. And it's about, you know, just having a better lifestyle for yourself. And unfortunately, money does make the world go around a bit better and a bit easier. And, you know, it's just about having that good balance. It's not everything. Health is wealth, mental health, love. You've got to have good love, good friendships with people and a good name with people. But, you know, that definitely helps you.
What time do you get into the office and what time do you leave on average?
It's a good question.
Monday to Friday, not Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm really different. I do a really hard Monday to Wednesday. I reckon I get in the office, I wake up early, I always train for a good hour and a half, and then I'll get in the office I don't get in the office probably before 9, 9:15. Yeah. But I've always done either a social media post or some emails on the exercise bike before that, at least a call or two. But most days I'll probably work till 8.
Yeah.
O'clock at night. So I'll try to punch out a good 11-hour day. I'll try to get 33 hours in the bank by Wednesday night. Thursdays I'll try to knock off about 7, try to get home and do a family dinner at 7:30. Kids eat a bit later because my kids play a lot of sport.
Yeah.
Then Fridays I'll try to get home at 5, and then a full day Saturday. So that's during
– What's full day Saturday look
full
like?
Full day Saturday is 9:30 till 4:35, 10 opens – yeah, potentially some auctions. And a lot of times too, trying to do some deals, you know, 4 to 6 o'clock at night time if you're post-auction.
Of course, yeah.
Try not to book too much on a Saturday night because I'm exhausted physically unless I've got a 40th wedding, you know, a foundation ball. I try to really be home. And then Sunday I try to be family day. I'll check my phone once or twice at best. But it really, unless it's an emergency or unless I've got someone that's going to do a deal, I'll still work if I have to or take a call if I have to. But, you know, family day is because, again, in 5 years' time when the kids are out of home, I'm going to regret it if I work every Sunday.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going through a similar sort of situation with my coach right now where we're looking at, like, where I can pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I've been going so hard for so long. Do you think it's possible to be able to finish work by 6 p.m. Monday to Friday and still run a very successful business?
Depends on the industry.
Real estate business.
Yeah, real estate. You can if you've got the team. You know, I've seen a lot of directors that can if they've got the team that can support them.
Yeah.
For sure. But, you know, if you're on the way up, there's no way you could just not take calls at 6:30 or 7. You know, like if people ring me at 6:37 and I don't ring them till the next day, they're going to be like, today's day?
Yeah.
Yeah, life's changed. Unfortunately, what phones have done is it's helped us be so much more productive. But on the flip side, you know, we're accessible 24/7. No is the answer. I think the expectation's there. You know, if someone rings me and I don't answer about 9:15, I reckon they'll cop it. But if someone rings me and I haven't answered before 8:45, they're like, mate, where are you? That's the expectation.
Because there's two different ways to look at it, right? Like you've got some of the guys in the eastern suburbs, the Maloofs and what have you, they'll answer a phone call at midnight. Then you've got the McClay Longhurst in the world where it's like 6 p.m. I'm not answering a phone call. Even if you want to do a deal, you're waiting till tomorrow.
Yep.
They both work.
Yeah, they do. There's a really successful agent in Bayside. Her name's Romana. She dominates a couple of suburbs called Black Rock and Beau Morris and even Sandringham. And she, from what people tell me, is 9 till 5:30. That's it. I've got my family. But it works for her because she's just in such a dominant position.
Yeah.
But there's not many like her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you get in your 50s and you're not as – not saying everyone's not as hungry, but that's human nature. You're not as hungry in your 50s as you are in your 20s, 30s and 40s, especially if you've got good financial wealth because life is too short. You'll naturally start turning the phone off at 6. She'll go, I don't want to be not having dinners until I'm 60, 70. So what they naturally say in their 50s is – but the expectation, Kevin – I think would be, you know, make it seasonal. So I'll give an example. I don't work that hard between December the 20th and January the 20th, and I don't work that hard in July because these are times it's very quiet in real estate in my Bayside area and you know, in Stonington and Boroondara where and Peninsula where Kay and Burton do a lot of business. So those times is different for me. I can switch off. But when those peak seasons are, I've got 10 months a year to make money, I will go hard. So for me, it's about sprinting for 5 months, resting for 3 to 4 weeks. Sprinting for 5 months, resting for 3 or 4 weeks. So when I'm grinding in May and June, I say, oh, July the 1st, I'm flying out to Greece this year, I've got 4 weeks. You know, last year it was Bali. Then I'll get back from Greece this year, late June. I'll be working so hard August, September, October, November to mid-December. When I'm grinding in late November, early December, and I'm exhausted, 6 days again, 6 days again, I'll go, you know what? I'm off at 22nd of December, flying to Bali. You know what? I'll go have a month off. So I think for a young guy like yourself is about saying, you know what? I'm happy to do it seasonally. I'm not going to do it for 52 weeks a year, but maybe for 30 weeks a year, I will work till 8 o'clock 3 or 4 nights a week, but I'll have Fridays early, Saturdays, you know, Saturday, no one's really going to ring you Saturday night past 5, mate.
Not really.
And then Sundays, so you might go for 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday I'll work till 8, the other days I won't, but guess what? The 10 weeks a year, then I can take my foot off the pedal and recharge. So that's, if I was your mentor, that's the advice I'll give you.
Is that what you teach your team too?
For sure, for sure. Yep, it's about, you know, seasonal, real estate sprinting, resting, you know, encourage them to all go and leave a couple of weeks per year. Yeah. So they come back and be the best version. I don't want them working at 7 out of 10 for 52 weeks a year. I'd rather have them for 46 weeks a year at 9 out of 10.
How big's your team, like your personal team?
My personal team is I've got, look, Kane Burton wore one team. My old first, we used to work in pods.
So there's no pods, no EBUs?
No pods here. Really? But then I've got a team that works very closely with me. I've got two EAs at the moment, Nicole and Annabelle, and then I've got a real strong sales team that works very closely. You know, Melissa Grint, who's come across with me from my old office. Scott Shway came across with me from my old office. I was very close with them for the last 2 years. Andre O'Brien, who used to work at my old office, went to Jealous Craig, has come back as soon as I was coming to Kane Burton. He's like, mate, I'm coming with you. It was great to have him because he's a great agent. So I've got three agents that work very closely. Nicole is an agent as well, even though she's part EA as well. And then, you know, I've got a guy, Tommy McIntosh, who's been here, is doing a bit with me as well. So I've probably got a team of about six or seven. But even though we're one big team, our office, but I've got probably a team of six and seven. I work close most days per week.
So do you call your own database?
Like
not hot leads, but the database cold data in your database?
We share it. Yeah, we share it. Yeah. So I'll get some of the times the team to call some of them, and I'll call some of them as well when I've got the time.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So what I notice, Kev, is I actually call the database a lot in late Jan and Feb when I don't have a lot of selling stock. And then always when I get back from holidays, I'll go on a big call spree in August. You know, I'm just calling people, hey, late July, hey, it's Matt Pillen, how you going? How are you looking for spring? Haven't spoken to you for a while. How's your winter holiday? Blah, 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 blah. Just checking in if I can help you. I'm here. So I think you're still going to do the calls. I wish I was better at calls. I'm probably only a 5 out of 10 if I was, you know, a better database caller. But I'm actually working on it now. I'm 45. I'm like, I've got to get better calling my database. So I still try to put in times to make those calls.
What are the areas you're like a 9 or a 10 or that comes natural to you?
Consistency, you know, salesmanship, listing presentations. You know, connecting people. So, you know, sometimes I'll walk in all presentation and I'll look at the owners, we'll build some rapport. We'll end up finding out our kids go to school together. They'll say, oh, Matt, you've actually sold for my friend and you've sold for my doctor and, you know, you've sold so-and-so. And oh, that was great. Probably should give them a call. And, that, you know, then I'll end up saying, you know, could you touch base with them? I actually just was interviewed by them. So that's always a good strength. You know, just relationships. It's a big referral-based business. So just getting a lot of referrals.
The higher end.
I mean, make no mistake, every time I go in and I get a job, people say, look, I did make two or three calls. You know, I checked you out, spoke to a few people that you've worked for, et cetera.
So out of curiosity, this is actually more for Daniel, but with the higher end clientele, do many, especially in Melbourne, do a lot of them use buyer's agents?
Yeah, more and more. Yeah, they are. Yep.
For example, let's say Daniel wants to break into the eastern suburbs in Sydney, into the upper end. How have you seen other buyers agents go about building their brand in the higher end markets?
Yeah, look, there's been some really good success stories in Melbourne. You know, Lauren Staley from Infolio and Tom Giorgio from Beckett and Andrew Date and these young guys. They've come in with really good social media, really good teams, a good polished brand, and look, they're just servicing people. They're going to agents, asking them, you know, any referrals, et cetera. It's consistency, you know. I'll give you an example. Lauren from Infolio, she's very good on social media. She'll give an update once a week. She'll, you know, good results, good team. You know, got a good mixture of female and male. So if, you know, you've had a team, it'd be smart for you, Dan, to have a couple females and maybe one or two males, you know.
Do you mind if I jot a few notes?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, you know, so, you know, really having a good diverse team. I'll give you an example with my team as well. You know, Mel, mid to late 40s, female. Andre, early 40s, male. You know, Nicole, around late 20s, 30, female. Scott, mid 30s. It's just having that mixture. You know, because if I walk in with a couple of my 60s, I'm not going to bring my youngest agent. You know, if I work with a Chinese client, I've got Scott. It's just having, you know, it's not like having I probably shouldn't use AFL analogy always, but you can't have a great six or seven centre forwards. You can't have seven or eight ruckmen. You can't have seven or eight rovers. You've got to have a really good team that balances each other out.
Yeah.
And so, Matty, what would your best piece of advice for Kevin and I from your perspective? from your side of the fence.
For sure.
Based on what you know about us so far and can see how we come up and present.
My thing is offering great service. So one thing I did when I was inexperienced in real estate was I used to really help buyers more because I didn't have stock. So I was like, can I come, can I, you know, if you need me to help you at the auction, what are you looking for? I used to even send them, you know, other agent stock and say, this might be a good site for you to build your two townhouses on. And the fact that I was helping them, even if they bought it off the other agent, they'd end up building it and selling it through me because I was with them on the journey.
Yeah.
So try to get in early on the journey. I would offer a lot of prospective clients, kind of take you out for lunch. You know, just would love to pick your brain, show them respect, especially when you show someone older respect. You know, you will never believe that times.
What would respect look like to you?
Yeah, just thank you so much. If you get, if one thing I learned is if you're going to ask someone for their time, make sure you pay for that. You know, at least it's just a $20 lunch, $30 lunch. Right, even if that person's richer than you, they are giving you their time, which is could be worth $1,000 an hour. So show courtesy. And say, you know, what lunch is on me. You don't have to take in a French restaurant, but they just want something that's $30 bloody steak sandwich or whatever, some sushi. It'll get you a drink. Let's say, thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for having us. I just wanted to ask you some questions. I really would love, because successful people will respect your hunger and attitude and drive.
Mm.
You know, so it'll be a privilege for them. It's once you start getting this age, you know, I love spending time with some of our younger, more experienced team to give them. It makes me feel good that I'm giving them some time and some mentoring. You know, at least once a month I spend some time here on a Friday with other agents from other offices, just giving them a bit of mentoring.
Competitors,
yeah. Yep, you know, really? I get that all the time. I've got to pick and choose because I've only got so much time. But, you know, people that consistently ask me and they're consistent, I'll go, you know what, yep, come in. You've asked me four times, of course. You know, so yeah.
Yeah.
There was a young guy named Jaden. I recruited him to Marshall White, mate. This kid was just contact me. And in the end, I said, nah, we've got to give this kid a go. His follow-up has been phenomenal. And it was just so impressive. I didn't have a spot for him, but he ended up, you know, going to my old office and working in someone else's team. But I was just so impressed with his drive. Mm. You know, he's 26 years old. So they're the things. But, yeah, respect their time. Be flexible. Don't be late. You know, I used to rock up the places late early in my career, and now I'm there 10 minutes early every time.
Besides all of that, do you think that the success you built was built on the back of making more calls than the guy next to you?
Was, yeah, a combination of more calls, putting yourself out there. Like I remember when I was doing social media in 2017, 2018, I just sold this thing in front of a sold board, doing a Facebook story. Mm. People would be like, you'd have haters bagging me, but now everyone's doing it. Like I remember just 2 years ago going, I could feel my social media was copied a lot. You know, but so you've got to just not care what other people think. You've got to put yourself first. But yeah, look, calls and hard work and, you know, just trying to meet people, you know, go, you know, more opens, more sales, more stock, hungry, trying off market stock. Yeah, just outworking the opposition for sure.
Do you think that's it? Because in my opinion, the way that I look at real estate, okay, yes, you got to have the right skill set. Yes, you got to be a little bit charismatic. Yes, you have to be a good person and a nice person. But if everyone's equal and one person's just calling twice as much as the next guy, that guy's just going to win all the business. Of course,
yeah.
So when I look at real estate, everyone bags out most of their competitors, but 9 times out of 10, your competitor's probably a nice guy. So at the end of the day, the way that I look at real estate is the person that calls the most wins, that's it.
It's a lot of times. It depends on the quality of the calls. Yeah, it depends on the quality of the calls.
Yeah.
You know, relationships are – yeah, real estate is the relationship game as well as we sell real estate. So, you know, they would be calling someone for 3 years and that person would go, mate, it's Johnny, Matt, how are you, mate? How's things? Mate, can you come in and see my house? No problems at all. Then I had to start, then I'd get, you know, get in there. Then I'd say, you've been speaking in from my old office. And I'd be like, yeah, this guy rings me all the time, but so does the other 5 agents in the area. Mm. But, you know, we know you, got a relationship, you've sold for my brother.
Mm.
And, you know, so just calling all the time doesn't necessarily mean you've got ownership of the business. So you've really got to make sure you get a good relationship there, good content when you're speaking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be memorable as well. You know, you can't just be robotic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but definitely the more calls is definitely, but it's not always a winning factor.
Do your guys door knock? Is there much door knocking in Melbourne?
Nah, because, you know, people got big fences these days, security, aren't home as much as they used to be. Because I think there's a digital too. Door knocking is not as effective because people now, they get the magazines, they get Facebook, they get social media, they get realestate.com to see their agents and win. Where back in the day when you didn't have this iPhone in front of you and you couldn't just see who was selling in a local area, you get a door knock, you go, okay, I only really know one agent. This door guy's door knocked, he's hungry. Mm. You give him a chance. But because someone is ringing you on a database, you've got five agents ringing you, you don't need it. The door knocking does not, it's not nothing like it used to be.
Do you spend much on Facebook advertising?
I don't, nah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you spend most of your money in terms of advertising on? Is it more letterbox drops, newspaper ads, bus
stops? I'll probably this year, because I've done the transition, I'm going to start really focusing on that. But it was probably, we call them DLs, just sold.
Yeah, DL cards.
DL cards, just listed, just sold. Probably that was that.
Mainly,
really. The odd property I might boost promotion on in Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but not really.
So if we're not going hard through the database, if we're not going like doing heaps and heaps of like out there marketing, how have you been able to attract so much business?
A box at the footy?
Yeah. Look, I've been quite good with that. So to be honest, you know, like last year I even took where the annual foundation board, took three tables there. It cost me $3,000 a table, $9,000. So, but I took 15 couples or 20 couples, give or take. So, you know, those guys are clients for life. You're like, mate, you're my guy. You know, I get agents ring me every month. But so that sort of stuff does work. Okay. I took a couple of guys to the UFC, believe it or not, in Perth. Volkanovski fought.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took 10 of my good clients. One guy, James, who refers me a lot of business, a couple of developers, et cetera. You know, cost $1,000 a ticket. It was $20,000 investment. But these guys, you know, the commission I can make off them. So it's a combination of networking, a lot of calls, a lot of marketing in terms of DLs. It's a real combination of equal that, social media, referrals.
Seems like you're very community-based, very relational.
Sponsor the footy club, sponsor the school, Brighton Primary, East Brighton Vampires, you know, involved in things like that. The Bayside Argonauts Soccer Club just started sponsoring. They've got a lot of rich business guys. So, you know, try to sponsor that. Friday night I'll do the jumper presentations and do a few, little bit of emceeing. So you got to get involved with stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
Mate, I really appreciate it.
Mate, I've got one last question for you.
Anything. You've come from Sydney. You're in Brighton. Thank you. How could I say no?
All right. One last question for you. So I'm at a stage now where we're writing good numbers. We're hovering around the 2 mark. We want to get to the 3 mark by
That's awesome.
Thank you. We want to get to the 3 mark by the end of this year.
That's awesome.
We want to do 3 mil this calendar. Now, I've got 3 sales associates at the moment. I've got a part-time admin that does, and she handles all my admin. I don't actually need more admin work than that. Of the three sales associates, 2 of them are listing and selling. So they've been with me for a few years. They'll probably step out within the next 6 to 12 months. I've got 1 prospector. All 3 are prospecting, but I've just put on a 4th to prospect as well.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Adrian Oddy a couple of weeks ago where there's a surface level agent where they like manage, and then there's an entrenchers agent. I'm not the type of guy where I want to be sitting there cold calling my database 24/7. Yeah. It's just not me.
Yeah, correct.
But the way that I said it to Adrian was, look, if we add an extra sales assistant that pushes out 20 plus listings, that's going to boost my sales. Now, of course, I've got to work hard. Of course, I've got to, you know, chase harder and all the rest of it. But do you think the best play for me is to keep adding people onto the team, as well as doing the 1%ers each day?
I'd be working on, okay, so who's your competition? How is anyone beating you in your industry?
No.
Okay, so you're market leaders at the moment, which well done. So how do I keep in front of the game? I'd be doing things like, there's a rule that I've just started to learn is 80% of your business comes from 20% of your good clients.
Mm.
So, you know, start making sure your attention's good.
Yep.
One thing I slipped was, you know, I was selling places for people, not really contacting them once I sold it.
Mm.
Other people then were jumping in. They said, mate, Matt, we didn't really hear from you for 3 years. I was like, shit. So then, yeah, so retention's good. You know, I'd be doing one or two events per year. You know, I'd be doing, you know, you guys should do, you know, a big Christmas function, cost you maybe $50 a head and get your, you know, 100 people there that are going to help you win business, stuff like that. I think that sort of stuff you should start doing instead of just volume of calls. Then trying to get a bit more higher wealth people.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know. So one thing is my average commission used to be 20 grand. Now it's 50 grand, you know, 60 grand. So, you know, yeah, so just try to step up that.
Yeah.
And just get yourselves the best version possible of yourself, you know. I did a course, a leadership course with Steve Griffiths in 2022. Little things like that. You know, I go to ARIC most years, self-investment, you know, just things like that. Learning, you know, always with Tom Panos, a couple of conversations, good convos per year. Always learn a lot of Tom. He's a great man. Have you had Tom on your podcast yet?
Yeah.
He is one of the greatest Greeks in the country. He's a great man. His energy, you know, he was one of the big inspirations for me early in my career because he's just energy, he's passion. Yeah, I think being Greek heritage as well. I'm a third generation. My dad was born in Melbourne's. But, yeah, he's just funny, mate, like Tom Panos. So, yeah. You know, he used to just get up in the morning and say, you know, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. I just say to my kids when I was three and Tom Panos was saying it, you know, in the real estate gym. But, you know, just, yeah, just keep learning and keep growing.
Cool. I appreciate that.
80-20, 20-80.
Yep.
I like that.
Yep. The world's your oyster. You guys are young. If you're young and focused and committed, the world's your oyster.
It's no, I really appreciate that. That was
legendary. I appreciate it. So thank you, mate.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.